You're about to hear a preview of Partially Examined Life supporter exclusive content. To learn how to get the whole thing, check out partiallyexaminedlife.com/support. Hey, this is your Partially Examined Life nightcap, recording this on January 27th, 2023. How you guys doing?
Well enough. I'm worn out. It's a very long week.
Dylan is apparently dealing with water in his basement, so he's not going to be here today. I was especially actually curious to find out from him. We were back in the mode of prepping for Eastern philosophy, and I didn't realize, not only, of course, was he not in the Shuangzi, I should be able to use the new pronunciations without exaggerating, the Shuangzi, as we called it at the time, but then was also not in the Confucius, even though, of course, you know, that was much more recent. This will, I guess, be his first Chinese philosophy episode. It's definitely a different sort of experience. How are you guys? Are you back in the mode?
I haven't even started reading it yet.
Oh, come now. Come now. We're recording this 2 days. No, 3 days. Well, that's right, because we have an extra 1 day. It's not Sunday morning. It's Monday afternoon.
I mean, weekends are really the only time I can do this kind of stuff anymore. And I got to work this weekend and it's going to be rough. But anyway.
Did you guys re-listen to the Chuangzi and the Confucius?
I
got through the Chuangzi and half the Confucius. And the Confucius is pretty good.
Yeah.
I like the stuff about de Tocqueville. <Just kidding. laughs> And Burke.
So we picked this philosophical translation of the Lao Tzu that we're about to do. And it's the same person, Roger T. Ames, that did the Confucius that we did before. And I just, reading the introductory material, which is a good 60 pages at least, is much more energy is going into that than actually reading the text so far. But I don't feel like it's skippable.
Oh, really?
There's like a 3-page description even just of the word Tao.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I feel like I'm doing Heidegger to some degree here, you know, in terms of the getting into the language.
Ready to Tao.
Yes, but I think that's better than the alternative. I searched, well, you have to search T-A-O and D-A-O, both of them. And there's the multiple spellings of Lao Tzu as well.
So annoying. Someone should have made this decision a long time ago and stuck to it.
Well, it's standard now, apparently. But there are multiple podcasts that just go through the Tao Te Ching. But the two that I sampled are just asinine, are just terrible. One is like by a guy that's like, I'm going to help you get to higher levels of consciousness. When you get to higher states of consciousness, you can do ESP and stuff. Like you can do supernatural things. And this is just one of many courses he has for doing that. And it's just, you know, his commentary, it's just like if some random, he'll even be like, oh, I don't know what this word means. I mean, English is not his native language. And so he'll like look it up on the air. It's just an invitation, the vagueness of the text for chowderheads, for people. Just impose your own woo science or whatever.
Yeah.
So this will be out of my system by the time we have our real discussion. It's not like we don't get this in other sort of religious texts, but like, oh, the Tao is so great. It's the greatest Tao. It's the most extreme Tao. I'm overemphasizing how much of that was actually in the text. So Seth, what's going on with you since you have nothing to contribute about Eastern philosophy yet, apparently?
I was telling Wes, I've got a recurrence of this pinched nerve in my neck. So I've got to start physical therapy next week. And it has not made the quality of life very high right now.
If you just use the Tao, you wouldn't have to do physical therapy.
Is that right? Okay. Maybe I need to have my chakras lanced or whatever it is that they do to chakras.
chakras lanced.
We're supposed to close on a house in a couple weeks, and we are just moving within the neighborhood to a different house about one street over.
Why?
Just getting older, the house we're in, stairs, and not having the outside area and the living area on the same level, and trying to make more space for the kid as she gets older to have like a work room, and we don't have a guest room here really. And I'm just trying to...
Bowling alley, extra...
Not a bowling alley, no, but a workout room, which will never get used. It's actually shaping up for April to be a really interesting month. So we've got our live show the weekend of the 15th.
Where are we staying?
Let's not put that in the nightcap.
Why not?
Come to our hotel.
Did we all stay at the same place the last time and you didn't like it, Wes, right?
We did, and it was fine, except for the dance club in the bottom floor. And I was in a room where I could hear it.
There's that. And then our company sales kickoff, where we do training enablement for our sales teams, is the week of the 23rd or whatever that week is that starts. Shannon's having surgery on the 27th. And now my annual guys trip with my high school friends, which we usually do in May, looks like the only time we can do it is April 8th. So I'm looking at a pretty full April as far as travel.
You're providing stalkers with a chronological map of opportunities.
Stalk away.
But you won't even be there. You'll be moved by then. They won't even know. Well, Wes, I know you've still been very much in Dostoevsky mode. Share some of your enthusiasm and what you have found. Just you've been looking at podcasts and stuff about it?
I'm reading it. I'm a third of the way through it. I've read it maybe twice, three times before. I've listened to a few really good podcasts on that and Dostoevsky background. Really interesting stuff, including the fact that he was sentenced to death for belonging to a socialist reading group, which it's an understandable sentence for that. But ba-dum-boom. He had become interested in socialism when he was young. He was part of the intelligentsia. And then the Tsar had him arrested, sentenced to death, and then he went up before a firing squad. Do you guys know the story?
No.
He went up before a firing squad with a bunch of other people, ready, aim. Then the guard comes up on a horse and says, hey, there's a reprieve. And he went to a prison in Siberia for 5 years instead. So that whole thing was like a show, almost execution, to scare them and then to show the clemency of the Tsar. He said that experience of thinking that he was going to die, he wrote a lot about that, and walking to the execution and having all this time to think about it, or having days, you know, before to think about it. And it changed his experience of the world profoundly, you know, it heavily affected what he writes about. And so did his experience in prison. He became pretty anti-socialist in a way. And he came to see human depravity in prison, not just as a product of social circumstances or the types of inequalities that socialism might solve, but, you know, he met pedophiles. He met people in prison who said that they loved to torture children, for instance, loved it, loved to physically torture children. And that had a big influence. And you can see that in the character of Ivan, right? In The Brothers Karamazov, he's obsessed with this idea that there's no way to theologically justify a world in which children are tortured. There's no way to redeem that, right? You can't say, oh, everything's going to be right, all right in the end. You know, we'll be in heaven and we'll be saved. Nothing can make up for that kind of horrible thing.
Well, I just solved one mystery that when I was talking on the phone with Wes yesterday, I was referring to the character of Smerdyakov as Svidrigailov. And I've been listening to it as an audiobook. Like, how could I get that wrong? Well, Svidrigailov is a character in Crime and Punishment. So I didn't just make that up.
Are you listening to Crime and Punishment and The Brother's Cake simultaneously?
But for some reason, I had replaced that, you know, they're both weird, long SV names. And my mind had made that replacement at some point over the years, even though I've been listening to them call him Smerdyakov. That's not the name that came to mind.
And interestingly, he looks exactly like Smeagol.
I'm just picturing, like, you know, how with the Christmas Carol, they'll do like the Muppet version and they'll have the Disney version. And so you get different interpretations of the characters of, like, is Fozzie Bear, you know, of our hero? So do we have the equivalent in Crime and Punishment? Can we have the WB version or whatever, whoever owns the New Line Cinema, so Smeagol could actually be that character they could use?
By the way, you guys know the plot of the novel, right? You know how things pan out.
I don't completely remember every... No. It's been a long time. I thought the most important scene where Ivan is telling Alyosha about what you were just talking about, this Grand Inquisitor scene, which is excerpted in existentialism textbook, I was sure that that was at the end. But no, it's like already, I hit it already in the first third of the book. So I don't know what else happens now.
Okay, so I'm not going to say anything that spoils it, but I badly want to.
But we don't want to spoil it for the listeners either.
They've had 300 years or 200 years, whatever it is.
I think many listeners, this might be the first time they've considered the book at all or considered it since school. We have teen listeners. They might have never not be aware of this. And it's a great book. Well, do you think that it could have been shortened a little bit? Or do you think it is perfect the way it is so far?
I like it. I mean, Dostoevsky is known for, he's not a literary craftsman who's, you know, picking and choosing every word meticulously. In fact, much of the book is dictated. He just spoke it out loud. Mm. And you can tell that a lot of it, it's like a draft. It's like unrevised draft, but that allowed him to be very productive. He wrote a lot. So I look at that and I think, you know, why do I just painstakingly try to structure stuff and mess with stuff? Just let it out. Have someone write it down and there you are. There's your novel in the morning. But still, I mean, what makes it great is the characters and their aliveness. He can really write different characters. And even though they're all aspects of himself, in a way. So Dmitri, he was a soldier, like Dostoevsky had a gambling problem, like Dmitri, for instance. He had a son, Alyosha, and in many ways, Ivan's, you know, if you look at his diaries and notebooks and stuff, all the stuff Ivan is worried about is completely autobiographical. It's just Dostoevsky. But so he's everyone in the novel. He has epilepsy, like Smerdyakov. He's everyone in the novel, and yet those characters are all so distinct, and they have a vitality and a reality, which is kind of astonishing. And then you layer that with he's good plots, you know, it's a gripping, it's interesting to read. And then you layer in the philosophical stuff. And that's Dostoevsky.
If that sounds like the kind of thing that you want to hear more about, then please go to partiallyexaminedlife.com/support. Thanks for listening.